This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. Hours before SNAP benefits are set to run out of money, a federal court has ordered the Trump administration keep funding the food assistance program. ABC's Catherine Falders has more.
The judge ruled that the suspension of the SNAP funding is arbitrary and likely to cause irreparable harm. The judge cited, quote unquote, terror felt by Americans who are scrambling to meet their basic nutritional needs and has ordered that the Trump administration continue funding this.
In Massachusetts, another federal judge says beyond the contingency fund, the administration might have to look for other available money to provide full SNAP benefits. Authorities in Jamaica say at least 19 people are dead after Hurricane Melissa made landfall this week as a Category 5 hurricane. The death toll is expected to go up as crews reach devastated communities. Just in time for Halloween, the corpse flower is in bloom at the New York Botanical Garden. The smell, which has been described as death, is still drawing crowds. This is ABC News.
From Main Street to the Capitol in Madison, WRCE is where Wisconsin turns for real news and great conversation. WRCE.fm. For WRCE 107.7, I'm Joanne Krulatz. The man accused in a New Lisbon triple homicide late last year pleads not guilty. Virgil Thew entered his plea in Juneau County Circuit Court Wednesday. Thew is charged in the deaths of his 33-year-old girlfriend, Elizabeth Kolba, and two girls ages 12 and 13. After the three were found dead from gunshot wounds in a New Lisbon home, a statewide manhunt located Thew in nearby Elroy in early January of this year. Thew, whose bond was set at $5 million, will face trial in December of 2026. With no incumbent in the race for Wisconsin governor next year, Marquette Law School poll director Charles Franklin says the candidates remain largely unknown to Republican and Democratic primary voters. The latest statewide poll of 846 registered voters finds 70% of Republicans and 81% of Democrats haven't made a primary choice. Among likely Republican primary voters, Congressman Tom Tiffany is the best-known candidate with 39% who recognize his name. Washington County Executive Josh Showman is recognized by 17% and Medical Service Technician Andy Mansky by 11%. Among likely Democratic primary voters, Milwaukee County Executive David Crowley has 26% name recognition, followed by Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez at 25%, State Representative Francesca Hong at 22%, State Senator Kelda Royes at 17%, and former Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation CEO Missy Hughes at 16%. In all cases, more than 60% of voters have no opinion of the candidates. For WRCE News, I'm Joanne Krulatz.
A big night for the Bucks. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports, where the Bucks beat the Golden State Warriors 120-110. And that was without Giannis, who was scratched an hour before the game with knee soreness. Ryan Rollins stepped up with a career-high 32 points and was able to guard Stephen Curry. Doc Rivers.
I think you put Ryan on anyone in as far as a guard. You know, Steph, there is no tougher guard, maybe in NBA history, other than Michael. To be able to guard Steph and then still score points, the number one thing it tells you about his conditioning level, and then it tells you about his mental toughness.
Baseball, Game 6 of the World Series tonight in Toronto. The Blue Jays up 3-2 over the Dodgers. NFL, the Packers play the Panthers Sunday. Micah Parsons named NFC Defensive Player of the Month and says the team is getting better every day.
We're just getting more advanced, and you know, it's a good thing when everyone's knowledgeable, when everyone's coming to work to learn, and everyone knows when their opportunity is going to be there.
That's Micah Parsons with Sports on Mike Clemens.
Get updates on what's happening in your community right to your phone through the Civic Media app. Select WRCE in the app and the news comes to you.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Cloudy with drizzle tonight and lows in the mid-30s. Some sprinkles or drizzle tomorrow morning, mostly cloudy tomorrow afternoon, high mid-40s. Partly sunny, breezy, and highs in the low 50s Sunday. It stays dry to start next week as temps warm. It's 46 right now.
The dunks.
Driving down the lane to the rim, and he rips it down with a right hand.
The daggers.
Got it, count it, and a foul.
Good
John Blackwell is feeling it.
The exclamation point.
Jack on the run down the lane to the rim, and he sends it down.
This is your radio home for Wisconsin Badger basketball.
Good again! And that's 100 for the Wisconsin Badgers.
The Badger Sports Network from Learfield.
Winter for three straight on straight in.
When it comes to vaping, the truth can get clouded. So let's make it clear. Vaping is not safe for youth.
Because vaping can put microscopic particles into your lungs.
And dangerous things like metals into your body.
And nicotine, which can harm a person's brain development through their mid-20s.
With appealing flavors, high nicotine levels, and lots of promotion on social media.
Many kids think vaping is harmless, but it's not.
So talk to your kids about the risks of vaping.
Because when you talk, they hear you.
Learn more at underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.
Dr. Kristen Lierley.
She's a chef, a bartender, and a state rep, calling herself the wild card in Wisconsin's governor race. Meet Francesca Hong.
The Dr. Kristen Lierley Show, Saturdays and Sundays at noon.
News from the Center, WRCE.
They wish to break the entire thing. That is the objective. It isn't about efficiency. It's about breaking it. And it's about breaking it for what end?
Now, the Maggie Dawn Show continues.
Gerrymandering is bad for everybody.
From Congress and courts to burgers and baseball.
I'm grossly discouraged, and I have given up on any justice in our system. It doesn't exist anymore.
Once again, here's lawyer and economist Maggie Dawn.
Welcome, everybody. I'm Maggie Dawn. You are listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. I've been looking forward to this conversation all week. My guest for the next half hour is Yuri Rashkin. He has been operating his own radio show, YouTube show. I don't know what to call these things anymore. We've got all these different platforms, Yuri, called The Rashkin Report. He has been focused on the Ukrainian regions of Crimea and Donbass. He has been spending a lot of time focusing and helping people understand what is actually going on the ground for people that live in those regions, some of the geopolitical context as well as the historical context. He is often sought out by Russian-speaking news outlets that are not controlled by the Kremlin. Yes, there's a few of them that do exist out there. So, Yuri, you're also a Rock County Board of Supervisors supervisor. So first, as someone that worked for Milwaukee County for a very long time and worked with supervisors, let me say thank you for your public service and serving your community in Rock County. And thank you for helping to bring really an insider's perspective to what is going on in both Crimea and Donbass and on a broader level in the Russia-Ukraine war. Thank you for being here.
It's my pleasure. Thank you for having me. It's an honor to represent the 16th District of Rock County, downtown Beloit. Come on down. We have an amazing baseball team. We have dining areas, just restaurants. My goodness, downtown Beloit, the place to be. And, of course, Ukraine.
Yes, absolutely. Why did you start doing your show, The Rashkin Report? What caused you? You know, you've got plenty going on. You've lived here for a long time. You were born in Russia. Tell us, what was the catalyst to start sharing your perspectives in this way?
You know, I blame Wart, because I was hosting a regular program on WORT, an amazing radio station that I think many of your listeners and viewers know in Madison. And my schedule changed at UW-Whitewater, and I had to spend more time teaching, which was great, too. And I thought, you know, I really got that bug of hosting a show. And I decided to start a podcast. And I thought, well, maybe it would be interesting to talk about Russia in English. Turned out three people wanted to listen to that. I thought, okay, how about we do it in Russian? Because that is my first language. I don't speak it much anymore, except, you know, I'm also a court-certified interpreter in Wisconsin and Illinois. So other than when I work, I really don't speak Russian. But it was it turned out to be an opportunity for people who wanted to come out. They were looking for a place to speak and a platform, because I am basically the only progressive liberal Russian-speaking voice in the United States broadcasting. There really is nobody else, because a vast majority of well over 90% of Russian speakers are Trump supporters. And so when you have people who are, you know, and I started right in 2016, so it was kind of gaining steam the more that Trump was becoming, in vogue. Every time he became more powerful, more visible, my number of my subscribers went up because people were curious what's going on. What happened is when Russia launched its big invasion of Ukraine in February of 2022, I started paying more attention to Ukraine and started to tell even more focused kind of my attention on informing Ukrainians about what's going on in America politically, because I love American politics, but there's nobody discussing it in Russian in any sort of a sensible way that's not like conspiracy minded outside of a handful of people. So I ended up being invited to Ukrainian TV, Ukrainian YouTube channels to just explain what the heck is going on in America. Because they're being fed this one line and then, you know, I don't know, Secretary Blinken shows up or this or the newspaper, but there's no context. And so I've been doing this for 3 years now, getting invited to these YouTube channels, basically, I think, sustaining Ukrainian economy with viewers and likes, and kind of ended up building my own channel in the process and developed a following and have close to, you know, I have 177,000 subscribers now on YouTube. And it's been very unexpected, and I'm glad that I have a kind of a niche to fill there by informing people about what's going on in America, especially since Voice of America is gone. So it's what an opportunity.
We have incredible listeners on this network. These are people that are plugged in, that care deeply, and they come from all across the political spectrum, though more on the left. And one of those incredible listeners, Ali, who frequently reaches out, called during my last segment to say, will you please ask our new friend Yuri what it was like when the Trump administration announced that they would be defunding and shuttering Radio Free America and Voice of America. And when that was happening, I took some time on a couple of my shows to talk about how long those outlets have been around and the incredible importance of those outlets to resistance fighters in World War II, right? And then into the Cold War, how important those voices have been. And the fact that, again, as you pointed out, for a lot of Russian speakers, the outlets that they are getting information from are basically either explicitly, if we're talking about RT, Russia Today, Kremlin-directed, there are a lot of what I would call risks for many folks that are trying to speak out in a more objective way. What was that like for you as you were born in Moscow? Someone that deeply cares about this region and Russian-American relations, as well as what's happening in Ukraine. You came here as a 13-year-old kid. This is your home. What was that like, knowing that information is the key to help people understand and hold their governments accountable, whether you are living in Vladivostok or Moscow or in Kyiv?
Maggie, people need information. In no matter what the society is, people want to know what's going on. And Voice of America was, if nothing else, this was the voice of American government. This was the voice of what we want, not just as we have now a missive on Truth Social, but like consistent voice policy flushing it out. Of course, when we don't have that, what would radio station talk about? But Fox News manages. But for me, this was very personal for a couple of reasons, because as a child, I grew up listening to these evil voices from the West, because I was always a very political kid, and I was looking to these, you know, shortwave radios that we had, and I would listen to them at night, and I knew that, you know, I listened to Voice of Vatican and Voice of everybody, because I was just information junkie back then. And to imagine that Voice of America is now missing from there, that hurts, because I know that as a child how important it was to me to form my understanding of what the world was like. And at the same time, I've, over the last few years, gathered considerable experience being a guest on Voice of America Russian speaking service. So I was kind of like the voice of, you know, I don't know, not quite Democratic Party, but I had like a, when there was a debate or some political thing, they'd be like, okay, we need to have Yuri Rashkin on from this side, and then, you know, somebody else from the other side. And so this was, and of course, this was never any money. This was just an opportunity to reach people. And just to have this opportunity to wow, just be the voice of, you know, when President Biden speaks, and then that there's a, you know, what we all think about it. So it was an amazing opportunity, and I was really, I'm really thankful to for it. But it was difficult. It is difficult. We are missing it. There are some substitutes. There's a Radio Free Europe that continues to function, but I think it's mostly volunteer staffed. This has been a really tremendous assault on our media on all levels. And the more media depends on government subsidies, the more it got hurt when this administration came in.
A question. What parallels are you seeing between Donald Trump's approach, antagonism, sort of aggressive pursuit of censorship of media outlets, constantly assailing, you know, various reporters as fake news and you're stupid, to the approach of Vladimir Putin to control the information that the citizens of Russia have access to?
There's a couple of things. I think, first of all, the, it's important part of what Donald Trump does and what Vladimir Putin wants to show it is that democracy is just a circus. There's nothing there that serious people don't play these games. Mm-hmm. The last elections that Putin ran in, he didn't even come to the place where the debates took place because he didn't want to be a part of this clown show. Of course, the United States, our president is the clown show. So we're, it's a slight difference in approach. The other thing that I find fascinating is when I try to, when people ask me about the shutdown in Ukraine and they say, look, what's going on between Republicans and Democrats? And I explain to them that it's a kind of similar situation to what's going on between Russia and Ukraine and their ability and inability to sit down and have negotiations because both sides feel like they're doing pretty well and they can't surrender. And this would be worse to surrender. And so they continue to fight, thinking that the luck could, you know, its chances are in their favor are pretty good. And so I think that there's some interesting battle lines and similarities that one can find when looking at both of these situations. But the dreadful thing is that with the last administration, insufficiently as that help may have been, and that was part of the problem because a lot of people were very critical of the Biden approach and Jake Sullivan approach, saying, oh, we're so afraid of Putin because he might escalate. Oh no, we're not going to let Ukraine have more weapons or shoot further or any, we're going to restrict them, and so they don't lose. And then what happens then, Donald Trump comes to power, and then we have a totally different approach, obviously. The big moment for Ukrainians, honestly, they really believed in Donald Trump, that he was going to come and be different than Biden and have like a different approach that's going to actually fix things and going to, because he demonstrates strength. He was, you know, they thought he's going to
play exit, at least,
right.
Yes.
Is when this big argument went down with Zelensky in February in White House. I had a stream after that that got like a million views because everyone was like, what is going on? And after that, you know, trust was broken. After that, you can talk about different things, but people just kind of feel like we don't, you know, we hope that this time he's telling the truth, but we're kind of learning. And this whole two-week business, you know, Ukrainians are not buying it.
Yeah. Folks, we are with Yuri Rashkin. He hosts a podcast called The Rashkin Report on YouTube. He has been featured across numerous Russian-speaking media outlets that are not Kremlin-controlled. Very, very important. He was born in Moscow, came to the United States as 13. At the age of 13, he is currently a Rock County supervisor. He has taught classes at UW-Rock County and UW-Parkside. He works as a Russian interpreter. He also plays the upright bass and piano. We may get to that as a violinist myself. We've got tons of questions. If you've got questions or comments for Yuri, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. One of the things that has happened most recently was this private meeting unlike the clown show that happened a few weeks ago, between the White House and Volodymyr Zelensky, reports are that that devolved again into a shouting match with President Trump swearing throughout the meeting. I want to ask you about that. I want to ask you about Tomahawk missiles and Donald Trump's flip-flop on that when we come back. And what actually is at stake, not just for the United States, but for Ukrainians and Russians alike. Don't go anywhere. This important conversation continues on the other side. Join us with your questions or comments. 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is News from the Setter, WRCE.
John, what are you doing? Get in my car. So why are you walking to work?
Thanks, man. It's these insanely high gas prices. They're draining my bank account. I can't afford to drive anymore.
Dude, don't walk. Just do what I do, because I never pay full price for gas anymore. I use the free Upside app that pays you cash back for every gallon of gas you buy.
Oh, wait. You're telling me you get paid cash when you buy gas with the Upside app?
Yes, I get real cash back every time I buy gas.
Does that actually add up to anything?
I'll make around $200.
Wow, that's serious extra cash. I'm downloading the free Upside app now.
Download the free Upside app now to earn real cash back every time you buy gas. Use promo code PROFIT for an extra 25 cents a gallon bonus on your first tank. That's promo code PROFIT. You can cash out anytime right to your bank account, to PayPal, or an e-gift card for Amazon and other brands. Just download the free Upside app and use promo code PROFIT for a 25 cents a gallon bonus on your first tank. That's code PROFIT.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic sports in Wisconsin. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
This is Robert Pilot, host of Native Roots Radio. On our show, we talk about Native issues like treaties, protecting Mother Earth, and holding our elected officials accountable. You'll also hear from Turtle Island voices like Arvina Martin, State Representative Heather Keeler, Ruth Anna Buffalo, Dr. Anthony Stately, State Senator Mary Kunish, Robert Lilligren, and Bob Blake. Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Native Roots Radio, weeknights at 8 on your local Civic Media radio station.
We are the National Park Foundation, and together with you, we're creating a future where every person, every generation, gets their chance at an unforgettable moment. Learn more at nationalparks.org/foundation.
Local news, weather, and sports on air and streaming on the Civic Media app. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Everybody, I'm Maggie Dawn. You are listening to the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We are talking this half hour with Yuri Rashkin. He hosts the Rashkin Report on YouTube. You should check it out. I know I'll be tuning in, Yuri, to hear your takes on all things Russian-American relations, as well as the Ukraine-Russia conflict, which is dragging on and dragging on and dragging on and appears to have no end in sight. We all watched almost in real time as Donald Trump and J.D. Vance effectively ambushed Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky in the White House a few months back. What we didn't get to watch in real time was the most recent meeting that happened on Friday, October 17th. This one was behind closed doors. Donald Trump was in that room, Steve Witkoff, a number of negotiators, as well as Ukrainian Volodymyr Zelensky. It devolved into a shouting match at times. This one was just in private. Apparently, Donald Trump was cursing up a storm. I remain utterly perplexed by
the Trump administration's seeming inability to get their head around one fundamental concept, and that is that you cannot trust what Vladimir Putin will tell you. And the only thing that Vladimir Putin understands in terms of trying to create negotiating leverage is strength. It's power. It would be the support of Ukraine in a very meaningful, clear, and sustained way. That is what is going to bring this conflict to an end. Instead, we literally rolled out the red carpet for the man in Alaska, flyovers, the whole nine. That's a huge win for Putin, right? I get the pomp and circumstance and the, you know, the red carpet treatment on American soil. What, why is it that you think that Republicans, the MAGA movement in this country, do not understand that specifically America's long-term security interest means that we are effectively able to support nations that face existential, imminent, and ongoing threats that are aligned with us from Vladimir Putin? I mean, Ukraine's in that space, but if you look at that region, there are other countries that are clearly very nervous about what is going on in Ukraine. Why can't this fundamental kernel of truth, Putin respects shows of strength and nothing less?
Because we see demonstration of that where Republicans are showing weakness because they can't show strength. I'm so glad that you brought up this point, because for years, even though I've always considered myself a Democrat, the opposition that I am is a nonpartisan, but, you know, those are my preferences, I always found an easy time speaking with Republicans, because when the topic came to national defense, it would be like, we all understand that Russia is a threat. I mean, it's pretty obvious, right? Right. Okay, awesome. So we're on the same page and we understand. And now we see a president who is showing weakness to Vladimir Putin, who is demonstrating that he can't control him, who is acting in a subservient manner to him, and while disrespecting American troops in every possible way. So it's a combination of things that should really make Republicans mad, but, you know, it really has been such a proof of a hypocrisy of so much that we hear from that side, because this is a real danger. But similarly to Reagan, who on one hand, when I think about his internal politics, I have a lot of questions, obviously, and I feel that part of the crisis where we are now started with Ronald Reagan. But at the same time, I have deep appreciation, because it was in 1988, during his presidency, that I and my family were able to come to the United States as refugees, as legal refugees, and to become, you know, a citizen that I am now, and grateful to this country for everything it has given me. And I'm grateful to Ronald Reagan. But
Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall. I mean, right?
Right.
Reagan was probably the pinnacle of Republican hawkishness and understanding the existential threat that the then Soviet Union, now Russia, presented to American security, both in the medium and long term. Americans, and I think the MAGA movement to an extent, this sort of nouveau version of isolationism, but not, we'll cut a $40 billion check to Argentina, that's fine. That there's this, I feel like people have this false sense of security that has been fostered by years of our domestic discussion in politics, not having people, candidates especially, able to speak very clearly to why it matters to someone in Iowa or Wisconsin or Ohio what might be happening in Kyiv or Crimea or Donbass. I think it was made worse by the fact that Obama drew a bright line and then didn't follow up it to enforce the bright line. But I want to just zoom out. Why is this moment, frankly, a tipping point? At least I think it is. If you think it is as well, either Russia will be pushed back and rebuffed, in my opinion, ultimately, through a much stronger support of Ukraine, including Tomahawk missiles, or Russia will be emboldened, and this is not the last territorial grab that we will see executed by Vladimir Putin. Why should people care about this in the United States, Yuri?
Because right now, Ukraine is fighting for our democratic ideals. Democracy is in real peril in the United States. And it really is going to be falling apart if Ukraine falters. Right now, so much European defense, European democracy's existence, in a way, now it depends on Ukraine's survival. And that's just an incredible position to be in versus where we were almost 4 years ago.
Folks, we're going to have to leave it there. Yuri, will you come back very soon to talk about this? Maybe we'll do a longer form discussion, get more of our listeners going. We got Kurt from Madison and Richard on the lines. I'm sorry, gentlemen, that I could not get to your questions. We will take them off the air. Yuri, I will send them to you. We will be in touch. We will share this information. We'll get you set up again to come join us here on this program.
Check out my Substack, Rashkin Report.
Rashkin Report on Substack and YouTube. Check it out when we come back. It's a Friday edition of Ask Maggie. Halloween version, not the Hollywood version. Stay tuned.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
Not just headlines, insight. Not just noise, conversation. WRCE is your home for real news and great conversation in Richland Center. For WRCE 107.7, I'm Joanne Krulatz. A federal judge has ordered the Trump administration to return mental health services funding to Wisconsin schools. Attorney General Josh Call announced that Wisconsin will once again be getting $10 million in grant funding due to the ruling. Seattle U.S. District Court Judge Kimberly Evenson ruled that the Trump administration must release millions of dollars in grants intended to address the shortage of mental health workers in schools. Evenson determined the U.S. Department of Education caused irreparable harm when it decided in April to stop paying out grant funding that schools in 16 states had already budgeted for expanded services. That included efforts at UW-Madison to train 24 new school psychologists for high-need schools. The Kiwanis Club of Richland County will begin taking requests for Coats for Kids this Saturday. The Coats for Kids program has been a mainstay program for the local Kiwanis Club for over 15 years. The mission of Kiwanis is to serve the children and their families of the community. If your family situation makes it a hardship to provide coats for your children, this program is for you. The program is a cooperative effort between the local Kiwanis Club, Richland County Health and Human Services, and Wallace, Cooper, and Elliott Insurance Agency. A request for coats can be made by contacting Kiwanis President Steve Colstead at 608-647-2655. Richland County Health and Human Services will be the pickup location once your request is processed. If you would like to make a donation, Wallace, Cooper, and Elliott will be receiving new or gently used children's coats beginning Saturday through Saturday, November 15th. If you would like to make a monetary donation, checks may be made out to RC Kiwanis Club and Note Coats for Kids. For WRCE News, I'm Joanne Krulatz.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Big news from the Taylor Sheridan universe. The Yellowstone creator is leaving Home, which is Paramount Plus, and migrating to NBC. In addition to Yellowstone and its many spinoffs, Sheridan has also created Lawman Bass Reeves, Tulsa King, The Mayor of Kingstown, and Lioness, just to name a few. His material will stay at Paramount Plus until his deal is up in 2028, but he can start working for NBC Universal in 2026 with a new screenplay that is headed for production. The Texas native has also written movies like Sicario, Hell High Water, and wrote and directed 2017's Wind River, which starred Jeremy Renner and Elizabeth Olsen. According to The Hollywood Reporter, this is a big blow to Paramount, but they still have TV juggernauts Stranger Things and South Park, maybe the only two other shows on TV Sheridan didn't create. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Stay connected to the stories shaping your community and Wisconsin right here on WRCE and on the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Cloudy with drizzle tonight and lows in the mid-30s. Some sprinkles or drizzle tomorrow morning, mostly cloudy tomorrow afternoon, high mid-40s. Partly sunny, breezy, and highs in the low 50s Sunday. It stays dry to start next week as temps warm. It's 46 right now.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
John and Cordy.
Now I can charge it any damn time I want. You know, I got a charging station for my EV, my electronic space car, and I've got a charging station in the home now. It was installed. A lot of money, but it's done.
It's a stop by, John's.
Yes, house. Stop by. We're charging.
Bring your electric toothbrush. Plug it right in. We'll charge that up.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Drivers, Austin Cindric here. As a NASCAR Cup Series driver of the number 2 Discount Tire Ford Mustang, there's a few rules of the road I like to tell my family and friends. Tire pressure is critical to safety because underinflated tires are more likely to fail. Plus, properly inflated tires will give you better gas mileage. Make sure to check your tire pressure at least once a month or stop by a local tire retailer for an air check.
A message from the U.S. Tire Manufacturers Association.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, a recap of all the weekend news with Civic Media's news director, Sholly Pittman. Special announcement coming up in hour number 2. I hope you can join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
I was working in the lab late one night when my eyes beheld an eerie sight. For my monster from his slab began to rise, and suddenly, to my surprise,
He did the monster mash. What's up, everybody, and happy Halloween. I'm Maggie Don. You are listening to the Maggie Don Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Do you possibly have trick-or-treaters running around your neighborhood? We certainly do, here broadcasting to you from WAUK 540 AM 100.3 FM. And I've got my senior producer, Jamie Martinson, with me for this Friday special Halloween edition of Ask Maggie. How you doing, Jamie? And happy Halloween.
I'm fantastic. Happy Halloween to you as well. I'm looking at the stream setup right now. Thank you, Jacob, for making things so festive. If you're watching on the Facebook of Faces, YouTube, X,
all of the platforms.
Yes, all of those. If you're watching on all of those, you see a lot of festivity happening. We do, in fact, have a lot of trick-or-treaters. We live in that neighborhood. Like the neighborhood, right? Where everywhere you go, there's a sidewalk, houses are close by.
Yep.
So I've got doors shut and things, but I'm not going to guarantee you're not going to hear the dog give a little bit of a roo because she's part beagle. So she's got that weird roo bark. And
yes,
I'm listening to the squeals out on the sidewalk by the big picture window by my office right now.
So
it's kind of fun.
Yeah, my folks, they live in a really cottage little Milwaukee neighborhood, sure. Burg, and there's a huge, almost like haunted housey thing contest that goes on between all the neighbors, and a big bonfire in this little triangle park, and they trick or treat at night. We did it on like a Sunday in the middle of the day, and it wasn't all that cool. It was just banging the door. You were going for volume, not experience quality. You know what I'm saying?
Sure. I get it. You know, that was the weird part growing up. I didn't really love Halloween. Like, I was usually pretty done after 3 or 4 houses. I was kind of like, okay, this is weird. Why am I begging for candy? Even as a really little kid, it just sat weird with me. But, you know, you go
through all
the
fun. Plus, you and I are of the age where somebody, yes, some jerk somewhere started putting pins in candy,
There
was all the,
yeah,
you had to take it somewhere to get your
razor
candy
blades
scanned. I mean, what in the hell was wrong with
it
people?
It was weird. It was really weird. Hey, before we get into the questions, though, which are going to be all Halloween themed, by the way, tonight.
Nice.
I mean, there is a theme here. So if you're listening, as we mentioned, online and you hear the show behind the show, I have to ask, you actually went to band camp, huh? I learned that in the last segment.
Jazz camp. Jazz camp. It's a little bit different. And because it was very mixed instrumentality. So it wasn't just straight up band camp, but I think it counts. It's possible that the like violin string orchestra / jazz camp / music theory camp might actually be higher on the dorky meter than just straight up band camp. It might be. And to all of my
fan of American Pie, movies.
Oh my
right?
gosh.
So
yes. To all, anybody who might be listening, from the Neenah-Menasha Oshkosh regions, from the southeastern Wisconsin Milwaukee region, from the State Youth Orchestra, from the music makers, anybody who was at Onaway. And if you've been there, you know what I'm talking about. It was idyllic. And who was at orchestra camp with me and strolling strings camps. I love you. Thank you for making that an amazing part of my summers. It was cool because I was there and then I do like basketball camp.
Sure.
You know, got to paint both ends of the spectrum, you know?
Right.
Good times. Thank you, Mom and Dad.
Would it surprise you to learn that I went to writing camp and journalism camps?
No, I would have loved to do that too. But I was just, those were the two camps that I did. It was usually hoops and then the music, but I would have jammed out. I think one year I did like a science camp, learned how to make something fly. That was pretty cool. Very nerdy.
Yeah.
Very nerdy things.
Yeah, no, that was same way. If there was a book involved or I got to read something, I was down for it. And all you had to do was tell me that that's what we were doing for the entire time. And I was good. I was totally good. Now, we do have some really good Halloween themed questions while we run down our childhood rabbit hole here.
Yes.
And I want to start with this one because I love this one. It comes to us from Janet, who listens in the Minocqua area. And she wants to know, Maggie, what was your favorite Halloween candy to get in your pail? And she says pail because that's what her kids used. You know, the orange one that looked like a little jack-o'-lantern that you carried around, little black plastic handle. Again, right era. We all grew up with those. So we're going to give you, we'll give you 60 seconds because, you know, I know you're kind of a foodie. So I'm going to imagine that there might be a few extras besides just one favorite. So Jacob, 60 seconds when you're ready.
So this is generationally specific. I loved me some Now and Laters. Those were a big deal when I was growing up. We used to go to the gas station and get them. So when you get the shorty ones during Halloween, those were great. I have always loved a Snickers bar. If you're gonna give me any chocolate, sort of regular dime store candy, give me the Snickers. I especially like a good frozen Snickers bar. I've always had to resist the urge when I go to the grocery store. On occasion, you'll see the ice cream Snickers bar in the novelties section of the grocery store. And I'm like, I don't buy the ice cream Snickers bar. But those were my top two. Eventually Skittles, very big fan of some Skittles. But candy was not a huge thing for me. My mom was a really good baker, so there was always fun homemade treats galore around. And my best friend, who lived across the street, what's up, Gretchen? Her mom legit made batches of cookies like every couple of days. She was one of the first moms that got that KitchenAid stand mixer.
Sure, yeah.
Which the pain in the butt for the cookies is the mixing part. It's not the recipe.
Batter.
Yep. And so there were a lot of cookies that got ate. A lot of cookies.
I was the same way. My mom was a stay-at-home mom with me. So she was involved in everything, and she was incredible, and she made everything all the time. I remember pies were her nemesis, right? Like, she could never do a good pie crust. So then once she figured it out for my great-great-aunt, I'd come home every day from school, and there'd be a new pie in the refrigerator. And to the point where my dad literally had to say to her, you got to stop. Like, you literally have to stop with the pies. We've gained, like, 20 pounds in a month. You have to stop. But I can echo some of that. Like Snickers, yes. Have you tried? I also love a good Milky Way, but here's the caveat to that. They didn't have them when I was growing up, but the dark chocolate Milky Ways, I should say. I'm getting so excited. I can't even get the words out. I love candy so much. one of the best, like absolutely delicious.
Anything I can get now in dark chocolate.
Yeah.
It's the boss. Right now, if I can get like dark chocolate covered toffee, right? Like score bars, but those aren't dark chocolate. But like that is kind of the jam for me right now in my middle-aged palate.
Did you have a least favorite candy? You know, like the one where you would cringe when you'd see it go in your little bucket and you'd be like, oh, my mom.
Almond Joy and Mounds.
See, I love a good Mounds. Not the Almond Joy so much, but I love a good Mounds. I like coconut.
I don't mind coconut, but that was just not. And I did. I also, like a Three Musketeers is literally getting thrown back.
Yeah.
I don't get it.
I don't like nougat. Nougat's weird. It's just fluffy.
What is
in
nougat?
Middle.
Is there an agreed upon definition of nougat? See, and is it nougat or nougat?
And now it reminds
does
me
Ted
of Ted Nugent.
Nugent have some sort of weird patent
I know.
Copyright? It's I don't know.
It's very, very strange. No, I'm right there with you. For me, it was anything like the little hard disc candies, you know, like the butterscotches that my grandma would force upon me, the cinnamon discs, or even, you know, because again,
do you like
age,
a root beer barrel though?
No, no, not really.
See, I love a good root beer barrel.
Oh, and like the circus peanuts. What are those? Those shouldn't
no
be
No one
a
knows
thing.
What those are. Those are
they
not good.
Be a thing.
I also
honestly,
hate Peeps.
Oh,
I don't
yeah,
know why people like, what is the obsession with Peeps?
They're awful.
Those are disgusting.
And if you give kids any of those things, even now in this day and age, you probably deserve a toilet papered house or egg to the siding. I'm just,
you
I'm
give
just
them the
saying.
The crappy
That's right.
candy.
That's right. That's like giving out a toothbrush on Halloween. Nobody wants that.
Yeah.
Nobody wants that
Not
at
so
all.
Much. This one neighbor, her name was Ann Luddington. She was in her 90s when I was a kid. She was lovely. And she would all literally, she'd have like her bowl of change. So you'd get like a handful of her change and candy. It was such a twofer. Miss Ann Luddington, Miss Luddington, I love you. R.I.P. She was amazing. She used to babysit for me
That's
when
awesome.
I was a kid.
That's awesome.
So amazing.
We have somebody over on social media asking us if we've ever tried Divinity. And yes, I've tried Divinity a few times. I don't dislike Divinity.
Is that not really crunchy, like angel food dipped in chocolate?
Yes.
It's
yeah.
weird.
It is weird. I've got a very particular palate. And let me tell you, you put basically anything in front of me and I'm going to eat it. But I have a very particular palate, especially when it comes to my candies and my sweets. I mean, let's be realistic.
Divinity,
this is
what I gosh, live on. That is a blast from the past. Like, I haven't seen Divinity in a long time.
Yeah.
I remember
yeah.
probably feeling like I was about to, like, pop a filling out or, like, chip a tooth with the Divinity. I mean, that stuff is, like, rock
we're
hard.
We're getting question marks over on social media, so maybe we're not in the right vein. So if anybody can tell us what Divinity is, because we obviously have no idea, please do.
Really? That's
us.
Not what I could, would have sworn.
I guess not. I guess not. Over on our text line, Scott says that we back to the camp conversation. Some of us went to swing choir camp in our youth.
Oh, that
yeah.
sounds groovy.
I know. That sounds kind of fun. I was not talented enough to sing and or dance or do both at the same time. So that would not. Debate camp is where I
debate
spent a lot of
camp.
My summers. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So Divinity is the white stuff that's made with sugar, corn syrup, and water boiled together, a pinch of salt, something.
Oh, okay,
they put nuts
okay.
on top of it. I
so
think
soft
it's
and
chewy.
Puffy.
Yes.
Okay.
I'm going to have to go find me some Divinity because I clearly
yeah.
don't know what that.
I guess
what
not.
The hell that is.
We
Swing
learned
camp.
Something today.
Yeah, yeah. I would imagine there was a lot of like very jaunty hat wear and scarf
oh, yeah.
wear at Best. swing singer band
swing
camp.
Choir, yeah.
Swing choir
yeah.
camp. Yes.
Yeah. I'm going to say a lot of vests, a lot of maybe glitter.
A lot of
too.
Vests, maybe a
Sequins?
Cummerbund or two.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. I had a lot of very talented friends who spent a lot of time in high school in swing choir, and they were amazing.
Before
they,
Anna Kendrick made it super
yes,
popular.
They won a lot of awards. They were super cool, super talented, and I just don't have that kind of talent. I just don't. No, we have another question we have to get
Let's
to
get it
here
in.
Today.
Get it.
All right. This comes to us from Sarah in North Freedom. And she
Sarah.
Wants to know, when it comes to handing out Halloween candy, Maggie, do you prefer a fun size, regular size, or the king size? We'll give her 30 seconds for this one, Jacob, when you're ready.
I go fun size, but like the best possible candy. Meaning, like, you're going to get good stuff. I'm not going to buy the discount stuff, but I'm going to go fun size. You know, it's the egalitarianism for me. That I'm like, I want to spread the wealth, but you're going to get the good stuff. No cheaping out on the candy. Always the good stuff. The unfortunate thing is, while I am moving, right now I don't live in a place where we get many trick-or-treaters, but I am looking forward to my new neighborhood next Halloween because there will be lots of trick-or-treaters. And I'm super, super excited about that.
Costco, big bags, pounds of them. That's what we've had to do in a few of our neighborhoods, including the one we're currently in. Just
pounds of candy.
Tons of candy.
Folks, if you want to get a question in for our Friday Ask Maggie segments, we get to one or two a week. Jamie curates all of them. You can send those in at askmaggie@civicmedia.us. Again, you got questions, we got answers, or at least some fun banter about it. Askmaggie@civicmedia.us. You can always zip them in on the text line as well. Coming up, we got Terry Barr for what's good, local, and overlooked in Wisconsin. As we close out this Friday Halloween edition of the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Stay tuned.
Connecting audiences, powering brands. This is Civic Media. Learn more at civicmedia.us/advertise.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. The Wisconsin Department of Transportation just announced the official start date for one of its biggest ever construction projects, the I-94 East-West Project, which will reconstruct and widen a 3.5-mile stretch of interstate highway in the city of Milwaukee and Milwaukee County. This is a massive project with an estimated cost of more than $1.7 billion. And with this official start date announced, also came estimates for how long this will take. Construction is expected to last until 2030. At the recombobulation area, this project is something we've covered extensively, including with an award-winning four-part series called Expanding the Divide. It might be worth revisiting that series and considering how unnecessary and expensive an extra lane is and how in southeastern Wisconsin, we're going to be dealing with construction and delays for the next 8 years in order to shave a few minutes off suburban commute times while the city streets and city problems go ignored once again.
Find all of Dan's work at the recombobulation area.
Cranberry juice, cranberry wine, cranberry brats, cranberry cream puffs. And excuse me, but my cranberry bread is ready. It's cranberry season in Wisconsin, and we're the cranberry capital of not just the U.S., but our farmers also produce more than half of the world's cranberry supply. So can you guess which state Wisconsin beat out to earn the number one spot? New Jersey? Washington State? Massachusetts? The answer coming up. Fall is harvest time, and you can see the machines rolling through the marshlands, which are flooded to help the cranberries float to the top. But it hasn't always been this easy. Back in the mid-1800s, the berries had to be picked by hand. It took another 100 years for the right equipment to be built to help with this harvest. Okay, so Wisconsin owns the cranberry capital title, but which state lost it to us? Massachusetts, which has been number two ever since. By the way, the cranberry is the official state fruit, making it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Seems like nobody in America agrees on much of anything these days.
But can we agree the federal government shouldn't tax people into poverty?
If you work full-time, you should be able to afford your basic needs. Don't you think? We're the Patriotic Millionaires.
We believe your full-time job should cover what it costs to live. We think your first $45,000 of income should be tax-free.
And multimillionaires?
We should pay more to fund your tax cut. Go to first45taxfree.com to learn more. A working-class tax cut paid for by millionaires. That's an idea we can all agree on.
Listen to the Civic Media exclusive podcast, Busted Pencils.
I mean, that comes naturally for me, Jacob, as a blue-collar scholar. I really love knowing, hey, what are the skills I need to complete the job? And how can I be the very best? I really think that we owe it to the next generation. And I don't even mean just young people, but anybody thinking about, hey, I'm going to change my career pathway. I think we owe it to them to say, well, here are the experts in your industry.
Subscribe to Busted Pencils wherever you listen to podcasts.
As Wisconsin is saying the word bag instead of bag, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
It's Friday. We always mean something good by the end of the week. And so we are here again, friends. My name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm joined on Fridays in this very time slot by my good friend and civic colleague, Terry Barr, for what's good, local, and overlooked in Wisconsin. Welcome back, Terry.
Hi there, Maggie, and hello to all the listeners and the viewers. And how about if we talk about pumpkins since, you know, it is fall and Halloween?
I love a good pumpkin discussion. Lay it on me, Terry.
Here we go. So you're seeing pumpkins for sale everywhere or on people's porches all decorated. But here's something I recently learned about that I did not know. So I'm excited to share this with you. Wisconsin is home to some of the most giant pumpkin growers. And these folks are setting records, not just in Wisconsin, but across the country and the world. I talked to one of these growers from Markesan, and his name is Mike Schmidt. And here is what he tells me about why this is such a big deal.
We're really like a social club that all enjoy the hobby of growing giant pumpkins and teaching people about growing giant pumpkins.
Has this year been a good year for giant pumpkins?
Yeah, like the biggest pumpkin grown in the state this year was 2,491 pounds. That's a little shy of the state record. The state record is 2,551. So anytime you get close to the state record, you know, one can assume that the year was pretty good. The big factor is the amount of care that goes into these pumpkins. I always told people, like, when I first started out, like, each pumpkin that I grew, and I started out growing three pumpkins, at peak time was taking me 10 hours a week. So I could be putting in 30 hours a week to grow three pumpkins. Now I'm a little better, a little more efficient on that. You know, it's probably closer to 6-7 hours per pumpkin per week. And that's at like a really competitive level. Like, you know, if you didn't want to do that, you didn't have to do that, but you might not be able to expect as big a result. Wow. So yeah, a lot of it's just the care and effort and that goes into it.
What is he doing?
2,500 pounds.
What occupies one's time? Are you talking to the pumpkin? Are you massaging the pumpkin vines, fertilizing, watering? What, 6 to 7 hours per pumpkin?
I know. And it paid off for Mike. He did win the very first year he entered one of the competitions. He won as like the novice grower of the year.
Oh, that's so cool.
I know. And he does give the seeds from his pumpkins away so other people can grow these big pumpkins. And he'll talk you through it. But right now, there are at least 200 growers in Wisconsin that are really into this and are part of this giant pumpkin growers group. There's a group. And, you know, they say that it's just really, really fun. And I think what Mike described as, like you were saying, do they sit and talk to the pumpkin kind of like a plant?
Right.
Mike said on the really good growing days, these pumpkins can put on 50 pounds a day. And you can actually sit and watch it as it grows. This just blows my mind. But
it is kind of mind-boggling. But yeah. My neighbor's got a puppy that's going to be an enormous dog, and I thought I could literally almost watch the puppy growing as it walked down the block. But watching a vegetable grow in real time sounds pretty trippy. They need, you know how they do, Alaska does, like the big fat bear contest cam where they see which one like packs on the most poundage each. They should do some like live stream. It's the pumpkin cam and we can watch the pumpkin grow. Listen, you throw a little like ASMDR or the maybe the sound of the pumpkin growing, and I'm sure there's like, an audience for on YouTube.
Would, I think, love it. Such a great distraction, too. Mike said he would come home from work and take a cocktail and just go sit out by the pumpkin.
Go connect. Put in some quality time with your, with your ginormous pumpkin. Oh, my Lord.
See, the things you don't know.
Yeah, things we obviously need to know about pumpkins that grow 50 pounds in a day. My head is just, that's 2 pounds an hour.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
I know it is. And they don't waste the pumpkin either.
Oh,
they carve it for Halloween. He once had a 1,000-pound pumpkin on his front porch, which he said was a total blast because everybody was kind of like, what?
Yes.
Yeah. Then again, giving away the seeds and also using it as animal feed, because there are a lot of animals that actually enjoy eating a pumpkin.
Including little doggies. Little doggies love some pureed pumpkin. It's very good for their digestive system. I know my little Finny loves her some pumpkin. It's quite the treat for her. All of this has made me think of, and I think I'm going to do this now. You've inspired me, Terry. One of my absolute favorite things to make every fall is butternut squash soup.
Oh,
but I always use my pumpkin seeds to make pepitas, and I spice the heck out of them. Like, think cayenne. Lots of you know, like Himalayan, like big salt, big grain salt, and then some cayenne toasted up to make the toasted pepitas. And then I put that on top of the butternut squash soup.
Oh, that sounds perfect.
Right? With a little bit of like creme fraiche and some chives. And I'm going to tell everybody this is the secret ingredient for all of your fall chilies, especially red tomato-based chilies, as well as your squash soups. This is the ingredient. And just a dab will do you. Just a little pinch of this. And it is ground clove.
No kidding.
It adds like this wonderful depth of flavor. And people will be like, what is this? Tastes different. And just don't tell anybody. And if you do, tell them you heard it here on the Maggie Don Show with Terry Barr here every Friday for what's good, local, and overlooked in Wisconsin. Happy Halloween, Terry. Have a great weekend.
You too. And everyone listening as well to you.
Folks, that's going to do it for us. Pete Schwab is up next. Remember, I'll stand up for you. I hope you stand up for me, but it is always better when we stand together. Have a safe Halloween.
This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. Federal judges in Rhode Island and Boston intervening to keep critical food assistance programs funded despite a government shutdown. Here's ABC's Jay O'Brien.
The judge, prior to making this ruling, said that he didn't think that there was anything else that qualified as a kind of emergency more than this impending food crisis brought on by the fact that SNAP will run out of money come tomorrow, and some 42 million lower-income Americans who rely on the program to feed their families will start to be left in limbo without any money coming in onto their EBT cards and things of that nature.
President Trump on social media says government lawyers, quote, don't think we have the legal authority to pay SNAP with certain monies we have available, but that it will be my honor to provide the funding just like I did with military and law enforcement pay if the court would clarify how we can legally fund SNAP as soon as possible. Hurricane Melissa blamed for at least 19 deaths in Jamaica. Island officials expect that death toll to rise. And this Sunday, much of the country will turn clocks back 1 hour. This is ABC.